And I'd also like to see more vision. I'd like to see more imagination. I'd like to see people taking a broader view. I know that's difficult if you're sometimes bogged down in the day-to-day work of running a co-op, or if you've got classes to take every day. It's easy, if you're not careful, to lose your wider vision of Buddhism and the movement and the spiritual life. But we must retain that vision, retain that imagination, retain even that transcendental insight and make it illumine everything that we do. And here we come rather to, well, a mixture of fear and hope for the future, for the next 20 years. I hope that we can keep the Dharma. I hope we can keep the Buddhist teaching free from non-Buddhist admixtures. There are always temptations to sort of, you know, mix the Buddhist teaching up with something else or interpret it in a way which is not in accordance with, well, that teaching itself. Let me give you an example of the sort of thing I mean. We do talk quite a lot about development, and we quite rightly talk about development, our development as human beings, our spiritual development, our emotional development, our development from a lower to a higher level of consciousness. We quite rightly and quite truthfully talk in that sort of way. But if we're not careful, we can introduce a subtle sort of misunderstanding, and we start looking at things in terms of whether they're good for our development in a very narrow sort of way, almost a precious sort of way. We say, oh no, I don't think I can do that. I don't think it'll be good for my development. Someone maybe asks you to work in a co-op, and you say, well, I'm feeling a bit frail, you know, a bit sensitive these days. I don't think it would be good for my development. Or they suggest that perhaps you should meditate a bit more. And you say, well, I'm not really into meditation, and if I was to force myself, it wouldn't be good for my development. But again, you might say, I think it would be good for my development if I had a good holiday, if I let myself go for a bit, if I wasn't so mindful. And maybe if I gave up meditation for a while, in the long run, it would be good for my development. Or maybe someone asks you to help them, maybe they're in difficulties, and you say, but I don't think it would be really good for my development if I was, you know, to bother about that sort of thing. I really just need to stay quiet for a while. That would be good for my development. In that way, the idea that, well, it's good or not good for your development becomes very sort of self-centered, becomes even very selfish. So you've twisted the whole idea of self-development or personal development in a really quite un-Buddhistic sort of way. So I think I detect within the movement some tendency, at least sometimes, of that sort on the part of at least some people, that we think in terms of our personal development in a rather precious and self-centered sort of way. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't think in terms of self-development, just that is a very valuable and useful way of thinking. But I think we should also see what I sometimes call the altruistic dimension of going for refuge much more clearly. I think we need a much greater emphasis on the bodhisattva ideal. I have been talking a bit about this in recent times. I've even been wondering whether we shouldn't perhaps sometimes recite or read the bodhisattva precepts in the course of a sevenfold puja, just to remind ourselves of that other side, that other dimension. It's not just a question of ourselves going for refuge, not just a question of developing ourselves. It's also a question of looking to other people, making the Dharma available to them and helping them, especially fellow order members, in whatever way we can. Again, you know that from time to time I invoke, as it were, this image, this great image of the 11-headed and the 1,000-armed Avalokiteshvara. I've mentioned time and again that, in a way, the order itself, the whole movement, is a sort of embodiment of that 11-headed and 1,000-armed Avalokiteshvara. The order itself is a sort of, even one could say, at the highest level, an embodiment of the bodhicitta in the world. So there's no place really for development, single inverted commas, in a narrow or self-centered sort of way. We need to emphasize, therefore, I think, a bodhisattva ideal. The bodhisattva ideal is the altruistic dimension of going for refuge, much more perhaps than we've done in the past. Incidentally, while I'm talking about the order as a whole, as the embodiment of the 11-headed and 1,000-armed Avalokiteshvara, let me just mention, it has sometimes occurred to me, or at least I've sometimes wondered, whether the order shouldn't change its name. At present, of course, it is the Western Buddhist order in the West, in England. But it has really ceased to be Western in the sense that we do have, in the order, people who are not Westerners. But on the other hand, Western Buddhist order is well established, well known, and many of the people in the East who have joined the Western Buddhist order are at least somewhat Westernized in their outlook. So we may consider that they're Westerners, at least to some extent culturally, even if not geographically. But perhaps this is something that, in the course of the next 20 years, we may have to consider. I don't at present have personally any very strong feelings about it, one way or the other. But perhaps it will be something that we shall need to consider, as I've said, in the course of the next 20 years.